Hear the word of the Lord. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you in with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all of the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do more immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all the generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Yes! Love that thing. Because it is God's word, and hopefully I, through prayer, I'm going to be able to open your eyes and enlighten you, because he's going to do it through you. Did you catch that part in there where it says Christ's Spirit, which is in you? No, it's not me. We were listening before we go a little further. David and I were listening to David Platt preach online a couple weeks ago. And what he said was there's this pastor who teaches preaching down south. And what he's known for doing is he's known for taking his seminary students in preaching class to this graveyard, and I'm totally winging it right now, David. He's known for taking his seminary students to this graveyard and saying, I want you to preach right now. I want to show you through your preaching that you, meaning me, can't make you guys come to faith in the Lord. You can't raise the dead to life. And if we remember chapter 2 in Ephesians, it says you were dead in your transgressions, and it was by Christ, by the Lord who's doing the work in you. So he gets all these seminary students into the graveyard, and he says, just start preaching. And so one by one, they go up and they start preaching, calling these people to life in Christ. And by the end of it, no one has come out of the grave. And he goes on to say, it doesn't matter how well you speak. It doesn't matter how charismatic you are, how much you stomp your feet, or how much you can hoot and get people excited. It's the word of God. It's God's Spirit in you that raises people to life. And then he ties it into the fact that when you go into the churches, when you get your ordinations, when you get your calls to the churches, it's not you up there speaking, bringing them to the understanding of God. It's God doing the work. So as we get ready to wrestle with the word this morning, let's seek him. Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning, seeking your will in our lives, seeking your will for us as a body of believers that you have planted in Parkman, Ohio. We ask that you fill us. We ask that you challenge us, that you show us the vision you have for us in this area so that we can reach the lost, so that we can bring healing to those who need to be healed, so that we can shine your light and your love on those around us. Lord, use your word this morning to excite us, to let us know how deep and wide and vast your love is for everyone. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So warning, that's not moonshine. Every week I drink hot tea up in front of the congregation with a little bit of honey in it. Hopefully, maybe not honey every week. It helps my throat. So this morning I have iced tea. It does look suspect. It is not. It looks like maple syrup. That I could, might be too sweet. You might see me pucker up a little bit. But Friday night, I have to tell you, Friday night was amazing. For those of you who weren't able to make it, we held my ordination service, not here, but at Parkman Church. And it was, at least for me, extremely powerful and tremendously humbling. You know, when you take the time to really sit back and ponder how faithful our Lord is, when you take the time to sit back and remember how God has brought me to this place where I know that my family and I are cared for and loved, this place where I know that Karen and I have been able to come with our kids and know that we have brothers and sisters who are walking alongside us as we wrestle with the Lord, that's extremely humbling. And at least for me, I can't help but think about how faithful the Lord is. And you all know me. I could go on and talk all day about how faithful God has been in my life, but I don't want to do that today. What I'd like to do is talk about how faithful, how God has been faithful to this body of Christ here in Parkman and in the surrounding areas, but mostly here in Parkman this morning. You know, and Chris touched a little bit on that Friday night. He talked about the struggles Parkman Congregational has had with over the years. And I know those struggles, they weren't that easy to go through. I know that we've gone through a lot of hard times and a lot of pain. Yet through it all, God had a plan. And that's amazing. God has this plan. God has been moving pieces through all those trials and tribulations that you were going through. Through all that time where you felt like you were in chaos, He's been moving these pieces around so that everything could be ready at the right time and in the right place. Now, isn't that amazing? Think about it. Parkman has a rich history. God has moved tremendously where this body of believers is. He's moved tremendously when this body of believers get on their knees and pray and seek His will for them. You know, I do realize that things have seemed chaotic, and that in that chaos, there's been a lot of anxiety and a lot of worry. But when we seek the Lord, we realize that He is faithful. He's faithful not just in the good times. He's faithful when everything around us feels like it's falling apart. And when we really focus on that, we begin to understand how much He loves us and how awesome He is in our lives. God hasn't just been moving things around here in Parkman and also in Middlefield. God has been moving things around since the fall. You know, He moved a small band of brothers into Egypt at a time when they were going through a drought. Moved them into this place, saving them from the drought, only to have them be enslaved within the 400 years, back in the book of Exodus. They were enslaved. They were feeling chaos. They were feeling just worry and anxiety and stress about where God was in their lives, only to 400 years later take this little band of brothers and expand them into millions of believers, millions of children of God, and take them out into the promised land, into God's promise, because God never forgets His promises. He's always faithful. In the midst of the Philistines tormenting King Saul and all the Israelites, God takes this little boy. This would be like Joey coming up to me and acting like he was going to beat me. I mean, we're talking 9 foot versus 5 foot. Joey coming up here with like a spear, with a little stick and some stones, and be like, I'm going to take you down. No one would believe that. They were in chaos. They were in worry and in torment. And then God raises up David to come and bring redemption in their chaos. God was working through David, moving pieces around to bring redemption, to show them His plan, so that centuries later, it was possible for Jesus, a descendant of David, to be born in the midst of all the chaos, to totally wreck what people had turned religion into, to totally flip it on its head and say, this is what it looks like to follow, to be in sync, to be in union with my Father in heaven, showing them what it truly, Jesus, out of all this chaos of like two millennia, Jesus coming in and showing what it truly looked like to be a son and daughter of our Lord. Jesus showed us what it looks like to have a proper relationship with God, but not just God. Jesus showed us, if we're true disciples, Jesus showed us what it looks like to have a proper relationship with the fallen world and how we're called to go out there and bring His good news to everyone at all times. Because as sons and daughters of the Lord, we fully submit to God. And we go out doing what we're called to do. This is why we're looking at Paul's letter that he wrote to the church in Ephesus. We need to realize that Paul wrote this letter within a 20, 30 year time span from when Jesus rose up again to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Just 20 or 30 years after Jesus showed them and Jesus filled them with their Holy Spirit, we see that there are problems in the church. Just 20 or 30 years later, we see that unfortunately traditions have already come into churches which are dividing Jewish people from Gentiles. traditions like needing to eat kosher, traditions like needing circumcision, traditions like needing to follow the Jewish calendar. And Paul is having to write this letter here saying, you guys have to stop. Don't forget what God has done for you in the past. Don't forget that God is always faithful. And we tend to think that these early followers of Christ had it easy. But this is just 20, 30 years after Jesus rose again from the grave. And we have to remember, they're in the midst of a culture where you could be persecuted, tortured, put to death for bringing the gospel to Gentiles. You could be put to death just like you could today over in the Middle East for bringing the gospel to Gentiles, let alone Jews. You know, this is the chaos that we find Paul being sent into. This chaos where if I go and talk to a Gentile, there's a good chance I'm going to get turned in, tarred and feathered and lit on fire. There's a good chance I might be nailed to a cross for bringing the good news to a lost and dying world. Which is why last week we learned that Paul at this time is in prison. Paul says, it was by God's grace that I was brought to you to show you how great our Lord is. And because of that, because of his faithfulness and obedience, he's in jail. And he doesn't see it as a problem. He doesn't see it as a burden. He doesn't see it as chaos. I mean, most of us, if we really think about it, going to our jobs, going overseas, going somewhere, you know, it's intimidating for us to preach the good news. It's intimidating for us to really be a disciple. And when we look at Paul's story, we would think him in jail, he's must feel like chaos and anxiety and stress is all around him. But he's not. We see that Paul understands that it was the Lord's will for him to be in this place at this time, and he refuses to allow the stress and the anxiety of being in jail to wreck his life. Instead, what we see Paul doing is we see Paul continuing to praise God. We see Paul continuing to teach others in the midst of his trials, in the midst of being in jail, in the midst of knowing he might go to his death. We see him continuing to show others and teach others what it looks like to follow Christ in that midst. I mean, talk about an example for every one of us here right now. You know, the weeks leading up to this, up to today, we've looked at how we were dead in our sins and transgressions. But by the very grace of God, our eyes have been opened. Talk about chaos. And yet in that chaos, God had a plan. A plan that involved drawing you to him, those of you who are his. And how does God do that? How has God fulfilled his plan? Well, he sent someone to you. He sent someone to you, discipling you, bringing you the good news, someone to you so that God, through them, could open your eyes to how awesome he is. I mean, that's the whole point of that term that you see a couple chapters before in Ephesians, to predestination. Jesus said, those the Father gave me, I will not lose. Well, that's my paraphrase. Actually, what he said is found in John's account, chapter 6, verses 37. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. That's powerful. That should be reassuring to all of us who are here right now. We never have to worry. We never have to question about whether or not we are saved. If we are truly the Lord's, we never have to worry. Why? Because God is continually working through us, continually creating us into the creations that we were meant to be. And that means that there's something that will be evident in your life. If you are truly a son of daughter, there's something evident there. Paul says this, says it this way, those who are created in Christ. Well, those who are created in Christ were created to do good works, which God had planned for them in advance. Those who are truly the Lord's can confidently go to the throne of grace. Why? Because there is evidence in them that God is working through them. And that gives us confidence that we are truly children of the Lord. You know, this is why I put that N.T. Wright quote in the Did You Know section of the bulletins. I think we've gotten something wrong in the American church and around the world. I think we have. We have allowed people to think that because they went up one day and raised their hands and said, I accept Jesus into my life. We have allowed them to think because they said a prayer. Or worse, we've allowed them to think that because they've gone to church, that they are truly sons and daughters of the Lord. When we see all throughout Scripture, we see that those who are truly God's produce fruit because God is working through them. You can't come up to someone and say that you're a believer and yet live like the world Monday through Saturday. If you look no different than the world, it's a good sign, and we saw this earlier in the book of Ephesians. It's a good sign that you are of the world, even if you profess Christ in front of certain people. And here's where the problem is. It's not raising your hand and accepting Christ. There's no problem with that. We're called to go and bring the good news. The problem is, as a church, we have to fess up on an issue that we have failed at. Because we're called to make disciples. Yet I don't see many churches in our country where people are claiming to be disciples left and right. I don't see many churches actually discipling others. There's nothing wrong with professing Christ. Nothing wrong with saying a prayer, even though we don't see raise your hand right now in Scripture. There's nothing wrong with it because we're called to go. But when someone is new to the faith, when someone says, I want to learn more, I want to know more, we should be putting men and women around them, helping them grow, teaching them to obey everything that the Lord has taught us. And we have to repent and admit that this is an area where we have failed. We have to say, Lord, we are sorry. We, people that are going to church on a regular basis, have to repent of the sin of not listening and obeying God. It's why I keep plugging in the idea here at the church and in sermons of the fact that we need to start having small groups. Discipling happens in small groups as we do life together. There's a time in the near future when I'm going to start asking people to start considering whether or not they're willing to have a group in their home. They don't have to facilitate it. We just need places to have these groups. Places where people can come together weekly and seek the Lord and wrestle with the Word and pray for one another and talk about what they're struggling with. You know, we shouldn't be going to church acting like we don't have struggles, acting like we don't have burdens, acting like we're not alone. We need brothers and sisters who are going to pray with us and be there for us. So as we continue to go through Paul's letter to the Ephesians this summer, pray about that. Seek the Lord and see if you might be the person that's supposed to open your door of your house to have a small group. And I guarantee when we start seeing that happen, you're going to start seeing God work through that as you and others start discipling one another. And honestly, in our culture, it's so much easier to invite a non-believer to a small group than it is to invite a non-believer to church. You know, Jesus talks all through the Gospels about what it looks like to live in Him, to be in Him, to be a part of Him. You know, when He talks about His sermon, or when He talks about how He is the vine and we are the branches, you know, we get a little glimpse. And what we get is a glimpse that's a paradigm shift to what we've been used to in the American culture. I mean, look at what He says. If we remain in Him. You know, too often in our culture, we talk about how Jesus is in us. And for those of us that are truly His, Jesus is in us. But it's so much more than that. If we remain in Him, then we will produce much fruit. Why? Because it is God. It is Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit working through us that brings about His fruit. Yes, yet we can continue to say that Jesus is in me and have no fruit at all. And in that same vine and branch thing, He says, yet if we don't remain in Him, then we are like branches that have been thrown away and wither. Branches only good to be thrown in the fire. And this is what Paul is doing right now. Paul is hitting it hard. He wants the church in Ephesus, as well as churches even today, to realize, don't forget what God has done for you. And he hits a grand slam with this last section of chapter 3 with this prayer. Chapter 3 ends in this letter where Paul has been going, reminding them of everything that God has done for them. And in chapters 4 through 6, what we're going to see is we're going to see teachings and instructions. We're going to see Paul calling out a church and actually doing proper church discipline on areas where the church is not looking like the body of Christ. For 3 chapters, Paul's been reminding this group of believers of who they are in Christ. And like I said, this section today is a grand slam. He really wants his readers and he wants us today to realize how awesome our Lord is. And this is why he starts out with this. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. You know, think about that. I'm glad once again that Will did not. It's going to be a while, man. I'm going to be preaching forever. I'm glad once again, though, that Will did not come up here and sing that song, I Can Only Imagine. Because Paul's on his knees praying to God, seeking him because of how glorious he is. But this takes us to something even better. This should remind us of something even better with Paul getting on his knees before God. I mean, this harkens back to Isaiah 6. Isaiah's commission, when he was taken up before the Lord in the awesome splendor he saw in God's midst. Isaiah in Isaiah 6 is before God and he cries out, "Woe is me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips." And when you truly realize that you are desperately, desperately in need of the Lord, that's how you act. You don't just stand solemnly on a Sunday morning worshiping God, casually singing out his praises, like we do in so many churches. You cry out in desperation for the Lord, praising him. Some people hop and dance and skip and do all that stuff because they're so thankful for what the Lord has done. Other people fall to their knees because of how awesome he is, praising him, seeking him, repenting of their sins, and then going out and bringing the good news to a lost and dying world. Going out to do what they've commissioned, what they've been commissioned to do. That's to spread the good news. That's to build up the body of believers, to send them out. You know, they fall on their knees. They praise God because they realize God is awesome. They do this because they realize God loves them and God has a plan for them. They get on their knees and they praise God, or they lift their hands up, or they dance around because they realize God has changed them on the inside and they couldn't do anything about it. God was doing the work and they just praise and glorify and honor him. And someone that truly gets this, a body that truly gets this, they realize that they're like Isaiah and they're like Paul. Because if you're truly one of the Lord's, you've been commissioned starting on day one when God opened your eyes. And this is what Paul is reminding these people of in his letter to the church in Ephesus. They, as true believers, have been commissioned by the Lord to be the body of Christ here on earth, as is in heaven, not to sit in a church service on Sunday or go to a worship service when you feel like going to one and you feel like you have time, but to be the body of Christ that comes together at all times, bringing all the gifts that God has blessed you with so that you can bless others around you, so that you can bless the body and be a body in order to go out and spread the good news to a lost and dying world. Paul here dropping to his knees honestly reminds me of Friday night when Chris had me kneel and he had all the pastors around me and they laid hands and all the elders and laid hands on me to commission me for one purpose, to go and bring the good news, to teach the good news to the local body of Christ, to use the gift that I have been given, the gifts of preaching, teaching, and counseling, to heal, equip, and send out those who are the Lord's. On my knees, I knelt wrong. I mean, my foot was kinked and I had a cramp, and I'm glad I had that sheep's crook. But on my knees, that was powerful. And here Paul is dropping to his knees, reminding them of how we are to respond to God in all things. We're to respond with, "Yes, Lord. Yes, we want to serve you. Yes, we want to honor you." And it's not in a way where we feel like, "Oh, I have to do it or I'm going to get punished." It's in the sense that God is so good. And so Paul here is praying over them. "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. Not just one saint. Someone was saying recently that you never, if you have a proper translation of the New Testament, you never find saints. You always find the word saints. We're not supposed to do it alone. Together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul is praying that God strengthens them through his Spirit, which every believer has. He's reminding them, he's reminding us today that we were once dead in our transgressions, but by the grace of God, we've been drawn to him. By the grace of God, we are now alive in Christ. That's okay, I got my eye on him. I was watching him go that way too for a little bit. What's up, dude? High five. Because of God, we are now alive in Christ. And God begins to strengthen you, because as we come together as the body, as we wrestle with the word, as we pray, as we do life together, allowing God to challenge us as needed, God builds us up. And as we start doing this, as we start acting like the body, inevitably, we're going to start grasping how much God loves us. We're going to start understanding how great God is, and it's all because he's working. Because for those of us who have truly understood and see how great and how marvelous our Lord is, for those of us who have truly watched God move in times of trial, for those of us who have really watched God move in times of immense pain, in times where we're questioning everything around us, well, for those of us who have gone through that, we realize how high and long and high and or wide and deep is the love of Christ. We get it. We start to understand. We don't sit back and complain that I'm going through yet one more trial. We realize that God has a purpose in all of this. And Paul here states that those who are the Lord's are rooted and established in the love of Christ. We're back once again. If you had been here on Friday night, Chris talked about this gardening symbolism. And we're back to that garden symbolism. You were once dead, and yet God has rearranged your life in the midst of that chaos. And now you truly are a new being. You are now alive in Christ. You are no longer dead in your transgressions. He took you out of that pot where you were not flourishing, and he threw you into a pot where you have everything you need through the body of Christ in order to flourish. And I want to challenge you this summer. I've said it many times, and I'm going to keep saying it, because what was it, 21 times, Frank, that I need to say something? 21 times. We're going to keep saying it. I want to challenge us this summer, because we are called to do life together. And as a starting point, I want to challenge us to start praying this prayer right here found in Ephesians. I want you to pray this prayer over yourself, but I want you to pray this prayer over all your brothers and sisters at Parkman Congregational Church. All your brothers and sisters in the Lord, I want us to start praying this prayer on a regular basis. As a starting point, we need to decide when we're going to step in and allow God to work through us. And by doing that, we need to start in prayer. But it's a heart issue. You can't come up and start saying this prayer mechanically. You have to truly seek the Lord in this. You have to seek what God is wanting. And Paul's prayer here is deep. He's on his knees praying to his brothers and sisters in Ephesus, praying that they remember what God has done for them, praying that they understand how awesome the Lord is, praying that they be unified as a body of believers in order to shine the light and love of Christ everywhere around them. I decided over the last few weeks I've been using the words "what if" towards the end of the sermon. I'm not going to do that this week. I'm challenging you. If you are truly a son and daughter of the living God, to pray for your brothers and sisters here in Parkman and those around us. I'm challenging you to pray for the leadership at Parkman Congregational Church and other leadership. Pray that God leads us in the direction and we're willing to submit. We have to submit as leaders to where he desires us to go. Pray that God uses all of us to do his work here in Parkman as well as the surrounding areas and to all the corners of the world. I'm asking you to do this as a starting point because there's been a lot of chaos all over the country, but even here. There's been a lot of chaos in many of our lives, many of your lives here in this body of believers. Chaos from the loss of loved ones. Chaos from the loss of friends who have left the church or possibly left the area. Chaos because of the loss of control when things were going bad at the church. And I want us to remember, like Paul wants them to remember, that in this chaos, God is moving. God has been calling you back to him, to seek him for a long time. God has been calling you back to obey him no matter where he decides to lead you. So let's trust the Lord with all of our lives. Let's take the good news to a lost and dying world. Let's help those who are oppressed. Let's be there for the widows, the orphans, for everyone. Let's be there and be the body of Christ in this lost and dying world. And let's start with prayer, seeking him. You know, speaking of prayer, I have a question for us. I'm actually going to do something, and it's going to be awkward for me. But I'm going to do what Paul's doing right here in his letter to the Ephesians. So if you can't see me, I'm sorry. You know, I am literally on my knees right now. And what I'd like us to do is I'd like us to start praying. In a moment, I'm going to ask us to pray. And what I'm going to ask people to do, and this might sound weird to some of us, if you're able, what I would like you to do, if you're able, is join me on my knees. Join, like, if we're able. If you're not able to do it, don't worry at all. But if you're able to get on your knees before the Lord like Paul is doing, in awe of the sovereign wonder and the splendor of our Lord, in awe of how deep and wide and high and long Jesus' love is for us. And what I'd like us to do is seek the Lord for a few minutes. Seek him however you feel Jesus leading you to seek him right now. If you feel like you're called, you have to cry out to the Lord, seeking him to change your heart and give you a new heart. Seek him. Cry out to him if you have to over the burdens that are on you right now, seeking healing. Cry out to him over the pain and the suffering that is all around us in this lost and dying world. Cry out to him that he gives you the strength that you need to be the creature he created you to be. If you feel like you're just supposed to sit there in silence and wait on God, do that as well. If you're supposed to just wait for him to speak to you, to touch you, to reassure you, to refresh you, just sit there. You know, seek the Lord however God is challenging you right now to seek him. But let's spend a few minutes in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, for you are worthy of all of our honor and praise. Lord, we thank you, for you are so good and you've never forgotten your promises. You are always faithful. Lord, we seek you. Show us what you desire of us to do here in the Parkman area and the surrounding areas. Show us how you desire us and how you want us to shine your light and your love on a lost and dying world. Lord, strengthen us so that we can go out and fulfill your will on earth as it is in heaven. You are an awesome God, Lord, and you are worthy, and we love you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.